Okay, so we're chapter 43, concluding the two levels of love for Hashem. We talked about the level that we've called Ahavas Olam, the level of that comes through meditation, through contemplation, through the fact that a person studies Chassidus, studies Tanya, studies the mystical elements of the Torah, and through the fact that a person sees the human has the capacity to appreciate the way that Hashem creates the world, and the fact that the world, which is such an amazing, amazing creation, Hashem knows everything that's happening and gives everything. So all this brings us to a love for Hashem that's called Ahavas Olam. It literally means a love that's eternal. The word in Hebrew for forever is olam, just like the world stands forever. So olam means forever or eternal. But we're translating it as more literal than just olam being forever. We're translating olam as being the world. That means that a love that comes, that we get for Hashem, for our creator, through thinking and through meditating and contemplating and realizing how Hashem interacts with the world, how Hashem creates the world. So Ahavas Olam literally means a love for Hashem that comes from the world. It comes from creation. It comes from our appreciation of Hashem's incredible benevolence, as we say in Tehillim, chapter 104, which we read this morning in our davening for Rosh Chodesh. How Hashem gives life and Hashem gives energy and Hashem gives food to every creature, big and small, and including, of course, the humans. So this love for Hashem is called Ahavas Olam. There is, however, a greater love for Hashem, and that's called Ahava Rabba. And Ahava Rabba is a love for Hashem that is not according to our understanding. It doesn't come from our deeper understanding and contemplation. Instead, it's a gift that Hashem gives us. And it's not something that we can reach on our own. We don't have the capacity to reach this level called Ahava Rabba, great love. Ahava Rabba, I mean, the word Rabba means great, the great love. The great love for Hashem, we don't have the capacity to reach because the great love for Hashem, by definition, is above our reach. It's like saying a person who is 5 feet tall, if you stretch your hand up and your hand is another number of inches, you're going to be able to reach 7 feet tall. It doesn't work that. A person who is 6 feet tall, you stretch up your hand, you can reach 9 feet tall. It doesn't work like that. You can reach as far as you can reach. Same thing. A person who is absolutely incapable of seeing colors, if you only really try, you can tell the difference between red and green. You can't, you're colorblind. We don't have the capacity as human beings to A, appreciate, B, even understand anything that's outside of our experience. It's something we have never experienced. We cannot appreciate what we cannot understand, just the way it is. What we could do is we can give a parable. We can give what's Hebrew called a mashal. We can give an example. We can say, you've never experienced bungee jumping, but the feeling of weightlessness or the feeling of fright or terror, whichever one you say, that comes when you're bungee jumping is similar to the feeling that you have when you fall off your chair and somebody trying to sit down and somebody pulls out your chair. If that ever happened to you, then you understand what it means to go bungee jumping. So, you know, it's an example. Until you actually experience it, person says, I've never gone swimming. What is the feeling of swimming in water? I've never gone to this country. What does this country look like? Well, this country, it looks like a little bit like that country. Not exactly, but so. So that's why we study these concepts, and we study these concepts even though we cannot reach them, because one day the neshama is going to go up to heaven, And one day Mashiach is going to come, and Mashiach is going to open our eyes. The neshama also is going to have greater ability to see spiritual concepts. And then we'll say, aha, that's what we were talking about. So you said the cake tastes like this and the like this, and the cookie tastes like the dessert is. It's the most amazing dessert. It tastes like this, but I don't have it to give you. Ah, now I take, that's what it tastes like. So we will have a deeper appreciation. So the fact of the matter is that we cannot reach it ourselves, because the level of Abba Rabba means that you don't care about yourself at all. All you care about is Hashem. As humans, we simply don't have that capacity to care not at all about ourselves. We can fool ourselves and say, I really don't care about myself, blah, blah, blah. It's not true. It's just plain not true. And when you think a little deeper and deeper and deeper, you say, it's really, really at the end, I'm giving up almost everything I have, but something I have to keep for myself. Abba Rabba means a completely selfless interface with Hashem, a completely selfless connection. And again, that is something only given to Zikim. So this is how we conclude this chapter 43, talking again about the two levels of love for Hashem, the level called Avas Olam, the level that we can reach. And the more we understand, the more we study, the greater our appreciation for anything is. And of course, that includes our appreciation for God and spirituality. That will eventually bring, if we're only lucky, at some point in our life, to this level called Ava Rabba, which means a great and a seamless love for Hashem, where the spiritual will actually be all we care about, and the material world we don't care about at all. Okay. Avas Olam, the second and lower level of love, comes from understanding and knowledge of the greatness of God, who fills all the worlds, animates them with a permeating mode of vitality, which gives Hashem gives all the worlds energy according to their level, and also Hashem gives an additional level of energy, and that is an energy that is way above their level. And we explained these are the two concepts of Mimale energy and Sovev energy. Energy that's according to the level, and a greater energy that's even above the level. Essentially, we're not going into the details of this energies, but we're simply saying, look at how great Hashem is, and look at how God loves us, and Hashem loves the world, before whom everything is accounted as nothing. As a result of such contemplation, the attribute of love, which already is in the neshama, will, as a matter of course, divest itself of its garments. That means the person will not love anything that is physical. And instead, the person will want only Hashem. Because why would you want the servants of the king if you could have the king himself? Why would you want second class if you could go first class? Why would you want something that it comes from Hashem's creation if you could be connected to the source, Hashem himself? Because everything is nullified in reality, and are accounted as nothing at all compared to Hashem. And therefore, just as there's no comparison between something that is temporary and something that is permanent, why would a person want something temporary? As it is written, whom have I in heaven to love other than Hashem? And it goes on to say, there is nothing upon earth that I desire with you. I don't want anything of your creation. I want only you, Hashem himself. So therefore, this person whose soul's attribute of love is not vested in physical or spiritual enjoyment, meaning the more you're able to take your focus away from material, the more you're able to direct it to spiritual. You're able to then ignite your soul as if it's burning coals and an intense fire by contemplating these things, and then you're able to have this love for Hashem. We did explain that this level of love for Hashem can come about only after the fear of Hashem is total. The lower level of love for Hashem may sometimes come about, as shall soon be explained, even without being preceded by the fear of Hashem. So that is Ava Rabba. The lower level, which we said is Avas Olam, the latter category of love, sometimes precedes fear, and fear, again, is not exact translation. It means an intense shame. We translated this as you're standing in the presence of greatness and you don't want that great individual to be at all looking down at you, at all disappointed in how you're acting. According to the quality of the das, which fathers it, which it comes from, as is known. Now, the Rebbe goes back to the Kabbalistic levels and says, as is known, the 10 sefirot, the 10 levels go in order. First, we have in the intellectual levels. First, we have the levels, the 10 sefirot, the 10 levels that come from our understanding. And then we connect our understanding to how we are feeling, to how we are about to do things. So we say Das incorporates both Chasadim and Gevura. According to the Das, the level of love, which is the emotional level that a person has, is absolutely according to how their mind is. The more you appreciate something, the more you love it. You might say you love something, but if you don't really understand it, if you don't really intellectually are connected to it, then that love is selfish. That love is, you love something about yourself. You don't love something about that thing. The more you understand the other thing, the more you have the capacity to love that thing, to appreciate that thing. So we're saying that Das, which is the capacity to connect, the capacity to incorporate, to bring into yourself a certain unity, a certain oneness with whatever it is that you're faced with, this incorporates both chasadim and gvuras, which is love and fear. Das reveals these emotions. And again, even though we're using the terminology here of the 10 sefirot, but it's important to always keep in mind that whenever we say the word chesed and gvura, which literally means giving and restricting, or we're translating here as love and fear, these are all poetic expressions. It's not to be taken 100% literally in every aspect of the way the English word is. In other words, chesed and gvura means the pull towards something. That's chesed. Otherwise, we call it love, because love generally wants to make you be more connected, spend more time with something, be more unified with that thing, and versus gevura, which means restriction, which is again poetically translated as fear, because fear makes you want to go away, run away, hide, not have to do with that. So that's why I say that love and fear is not exactly a good translation. It's more better in the case that we're using here is chesed is a pull towards attraction, and gevura is a restriction or a desire to go away and have less of that thing. Das reveals the emotions. The more a person is understanding and connected to the qualities and to the, not just the qualities, but what it's about, the more you're either pulled to want to have more to do with it or less to do with it. And this is just the way it is. So this is a statement that is true in everything in our life. The more you appreciate something for what it's good, the more you want to have it. The more you appreciate something for what it's not good for you, the less you want to have it. The more you appreciate even something that's good, but it's only good when you take it in a certain way. So, you know, it's a medication that you have to have exactly one pill of, or it's a food that if you have one helping, one serving, then you're happy. If you have two servings, you get a stomachache. So then there you have chesed and gvura working together. The chesed says, I would like to eat this dessert. The gvura says, I'm only going to have one helping because two helpings is not good for me. Physically is not good for me. So the gevura part, again, is not fear. The chesed part is not love. It's an attraction. And then it's a restriction. I'm attracted to it and I'm restricted. Why do I have this attraction to this dessert, to this food, to this vacation, to this action, to this person, because I have das, because I understand what that is, what the qualities, what it, how it, how I can enjoy it, how it can help me. Why do I only want a certain amount? Again, because I have das, because I understand why it can harm me if I have too much of it. So therefore, as we're saying here, das reveals both of these emotions. According to a person's das, meaning according to the way that you can connect your understanding to reality, that's how your chesed and gvura will work. A person that we say, this person is an analyst, if you talk to them and they'll give you advice like nobody's business, but you look at their own life, shambles, terrible. Therapist, amazing advice. Financial analyst can analyze all the markets, all the stocks, all the this, all the that, but their own life, they don't know how to save $2 and they're spending and they're this and they don't know how to do anything for themselves. So what's the problem? Where do they go wrong? And the answer is they go wrong in Das, because the Chachma and the Bina, which is the understanding of the concepts, and even the Bina, which is the deeper understanding of how the concepts interplay with each other, and even extrapolating and taking out from this concept something. So a person looks at the news in the morning and you hear about the Federal Reserve Bank has voted that they are going to raise interest rates, or they voted that they're going to lower, or they voted nothing, whatever it is. So you can extrapolate from that. You can say, oh, in that case, bank stocks are going to go up and bank stocks will go down and the manufacturing will go sideways, whatever, depending on what's happening. So the ability to extrapolate is Bina. That's what Bina is. So a person can have Chachma. Person can have Bina, but if you don't have Das, you don't have discipline to incorporate your understanding into what you should actually be attracted to or restricting yourself from. So then another way to say Das actually is discipline. It happens to be they both start with the letter D, but that's what it is. So we're talking here about how to have love for Hashem. That's really what we're talking about. How should a human being who wants to feel more spiritual, who wants to be more connected to our Creator, how can you do that? Plain and simple. That's the purpose of Tanya. Now, the Rebbe here is explaining to us this level of love for Hashem that is according to the quality of the das that we have in our life, according to the quality of how we incorporate and how we apply. It's a better word than incorporate. How we apply our knowledge to our life, that will make us have the right emotional state of mind. Having knowledge by itself without applying it in the right way, you're nowhere. You might actually be worse off, because now you just have a sense that you understand how far you are, but you're feeling upset that you can't even reach that level. So, but if you have the knowledge and then you can apply it the right way, you have the discipline to apply it the right way, then we say that we have the chesed and the gevura. We have either the attraction, which is the chesed, otherwise known as love, at least in the translation, and gevura, which is the restriction, otherwise known as fear, again, poetically. So we know what to be attracted to and how much to be restricted from it and how to exactly attenuate it and how much exactly, how to focus it, that reveals the emotion. Thus, binding one's das intensely to the greatness of Hashem gives rise to both feelings, fear and love. Sometimes the chasadim descend and manifest themselves first. Sometimes, the Alter Rebbe says, it is possible for a person initially to be overwhelmed with the greatness of Hashem. Therefore, it's possible for a wicked and a sinful person to repent by virtue of the love that is born in his heart at the time he remembers that Hashem is the God, that God is the boss. Of course, there's fear included also at that time, but the fear is concealed. meaning this person is still wicked. So you ask a person, do you love God? Oh, I love God. Well, how come you're acting in such a way? You're doing something that Hashem says you shouldn't do. How does it mean you love God? Or to take it a more personal, not even talking about Hashem, do you love this person? I love my spouse. I love my child. I love my parent. So why are you doing this that you know they don't like? Why are you acting in such a way that you know they don't like it? Do you really? I really, really love them. I really, really do. So how come you're doing X, Y, and Z? So that's a question, right? So we act the same way to Hashem. Person says, I love Hashem. I've contemplated. I've thought about it. So how come you're doing this and this that you know intellectually Hashem doesn't want you to do? And the answer is because the other part, which is the fear, meaning the capacity to restrict yourself from action, is missing. It's concealed. It's not expressing itself. So the fear of sin is concealed. The love for Hashem is revealed. So unconsciously, the individual is only aware of love for Hashem. But in such a case, where the wicked and sinful person should suddenly attain a love for Hashem, where love precedes fear, that's extraordinary. That's an emergency prescription of Hashem shines some great blessing on this individual, as happened with Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, story of a person in the Gemara who did all kinds of terrible sins and eventually died from a sense of remorse for all of his sins. And the Gemara says that this individual attained the highest levels in an instant. That's a gift. That's a complete gift that Hashem gives. He had been sinful, suddenly became impenitent, repenting out of a love for Hashem. So intense was his penitence that it actually caused his soul to depart from his body. This was unusual occurrence that a person who is in a very low level should all of a sudden flash of inspiration, all of a sudden become so connected to Hashem, to spirituality, that they should actually want to leave the physical world. So you see here in the note, this was an emergency prescription. This individual was actually a reincarnated soul of someone else who had been a great tzaddik for most of their life, had been a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and then became a Sadducee who was a heretic, didn't believe in the oral tradition, the tradition that the sages and Moshe had handed down. All the Torah mitzvahs were elevated by transmigrating this person's soul into the body of Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. His life story followed a reverse course. He was a sinner and eventually repented. But the Altareb is just simply telling us here that this is very, very unusual, that a person should be on a very low level and all of a sudden feel an intense love for Hashem. Could it happen? Yes, it could happen. Very unusual. The regular order of divine service, which is determined by, it depends on a person's choice, meaning it's determined by our actions, by our study, by what we do. That has to begin with fulfilling Torah and mitzvahs through Yirat HaTa'a. Yirat HaTa'a, we define, as you remember, there's two levels in Yirat HaTa'a, lower levels of fear of Hashem. There's two levels. One comes from the natural state of a person who is every human being just wants to be good, just naturally, unless you somehow corrupted. And then there's a higher level of Yirat HaTa'a that comes from our contemplation, our understanding. So at the basic level, we need to have a fear of Hashem that is somehow motivating us, a fear of doing evil, a fear of not disappointing Hashem, so as to illuminate his divine soul with the light of Torah and commandments, whereupon the light of love will also shine upon it. As the Alter Rebbe says, is known that when it says in the Chumash, and it says in the Shema, V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem, the word V'ahavta, if you add up the numerical value of the word ve'ahavta, it's 2 times 207. meaning it's 414. The hafta is 414. 414 is 2 times 207. 207 is or light. And therefore, the hafta, to love Hashem, has two qualities that come together with it. First must come the illumination earned by the fulfillment of Torah mitzvahs. Only then can one be granted the illumination of experience the love of Hashem. So therefore, this concludes chapter 43. Now, the Rebbe therefore explains to us these levels. We talked about, just to recap, we talked about two levels previously of fear of Hashem. We spoke about two levels of love for Hashem. And we explained that the lower levels of each of them can come about through our own work, through learning, through studying, through meditating, through thinking about the greatness of Hashem. The higher levels generally are gifts that Hashem gives us. After Hashem sees that we have attained the lower levels, Hashem gives us as a gift the higher level. Why are they gifts? Why can't we attain them ourselves? Because generally speaking, the higher levels are levels of selflessness, levels where we don't have any desire for personal edification, even personal spirituality. All we want to be is completely seamless and connected to Hashem. That is a level that we simply can't reach as humans. As humans, we're programmed to be selfish, even on a spiritual level, to be spiritually selfish. So if you want to be spiritually selfless, that has to be a gift. In fact, as we see from ourselves and from our children and from our friends, if there are certain people that are just naturally less selfish, so other people are naturally more selfish. They're not bad, but they're more self-absorbed. And then it takes work to, you know, move away from being self-absorbed, be able to see somebody else. We're not talking about a narcissist here. We're not talking about a person that can't understand somebody else. No, you can, but it's like, what's motivating you? Is motivating you, I'm going to be good to you because you're going to be good to me, or because I think it's the right thing for me to do, or because I'm going to be scoring points, or I'm motivating you, I'm good to you just because I want to be good to you. That's a gift. To have a selfless sense of wanting to do mitzvahs, wanting to do good, wanting to, just because the other person is happy, this, the Rebbe writes in Hayom Yom, according to previous Rebbe, this is a gift. To have a, in language of the Rebbe, to have a geschmack, to have a sense of enjoyment, to do a favor for somebody else. I'm happy because you're happy. It's not that I'm happy, I'm doing this for you in order that you should, you know, to pay you back or whatever it is, but that I should do something for you and I should get happy because you're happy. This is a gift. Even when it comes to our own children, not every parent is even on this level where I'm happy for my, that's the way it should be, but you know, we are human and that's the way it is. And we are limited therefore. So therefore, just to sum up, the chapter teaches us that if we put our energy and effort to the max, Hashem will respond by granting us yet higher levels and yet greater opportunities to both be greater than ourselves and also to have greater enjoyment at the end of the day. At the end of the day, we will gain. We will have yet greater enjoyment. So this is chapter 43. So here we are. So this is a... as you may know, the Rebbe passed away on the 3rd of Tammuz, 1994, but the Rebbe had a stroke a couple of years before that, on the 27th of the first Adar, of Adar 1, 1992. And at that time, right before that, the Rebbe had given out a number of books over the previous months for the Hasidim to study. That means they printed a pamphlet or whatever it is, and the Rebbe would stand and hand it out to every single man, woman, and child for everybody to study. And the Rebbe gave out this book, this pamphlet, in honor of Purim Katan. Purim Katan is the minor Purim. It means in a leap year, when there's 13 months in the Jewish calendar, the first month of Adar, is not Purim, it's Purim Katam. And the Rebbe gave out this talk. And the talk is talking about concepts that deal with Purim, because it was given out for Purim. But it is talking about general concepts, very, very general concepts. And we'll spend just a few minutes with giving you an overview. I'm not going to go into every single point of this discourse. So the discourse starts with a quote from the Torah. And the quote is where Hashem is telling Moshe that he should command the children of Israel and they should bring pure olive oil to Moshe. This olive oil should be crushed for the light of the menorah to keep a constant lamp burning. So again, Hashem says to Moshe, tell the Jews that they should bring you olive oil. That olive oil shouldn't be olive oil that is ground, because you could put olive oil into a grinder, and the olive is completely ground up with the pits and with the shell. Instead, it should be what we call extra virgin olive oil. It should be crushed olive oil, not ground but crushed. The grape is crushed. The olive is crushed. And the purpose of this olive oil is that there should be, the menorah should constantly be burning. Now, there's a number of questions that are immediately come to mind when you read this command. First question is, why is it that Moshe should give the command? Why don't you tell the Jews that I'm commanding? Why is Moshe giving the command? It says, you shall command. Why doesn't the Torah say, tell the children of Israel that I, Hashem, am commanding? The next question is, why should the olive oil be brought to Moshe? Moshe is not the one who is doing the service in the temple. Aaron, Moshe's brother, did the service in the temple. He was the Kohen Gadol. Then also, why is it that it has to be crushed? Why is that so important? And what's wrong if it's ground? What does it mean that the menorah is a constant lamp burning? It wasn't a constant lamp burning. It was lit every afternoon, and it only burned over through the night. It wasn't constant. So there's a number of questions. The previous Rebbe refers back to a talk from his father-in-law, the previous Rebbe, on these same concepts. He says that when it talks about Moshe commanding the Jews, it really means Moshe should connect the Jews to Hashem. So the word in Hebrew for a mitzvah, a commandment, is the same as the Hebrew or Aramaic, actually, word, which means tzavsa, which means a connection or a bond. So it says when Moshe commands the Jews, another way of reading that is Moshe should connect the Jews to Hashem. And how should Moshe connect the Jews to Hashem? Moshe should explain to the Jews that inside of each Jew, there is pure olive oil. And that pure olive oil comes out when you are crushed. That means when you're going through some tsaris in your life. And therefore, the Rebbe explains that the job of the tzaddik of the generation, because the Gemara tells us that the Moshe is not just one-time Moshe. Every generation has a tzaddik, a leader of the generation. In the language of Tanya, a tzaddik yisod olam, a tzaddik who is the foundation of the world and through whose neshama all of the energy for all of the other souls, for all of the other neshamas flows. So he's like a point in the pipeline where all the energy flows through that switch, through that point. The tzaddik is the one who connects the Jewish people who are individual points of light with Hashem, with the essence, with the origin. And the tzaddik explains to us that the idea of being crushed, whatever we go through in our life that makes us feel crushed, whether it's on a personal level, some personal tzaris, or it's on a national level, and the Rebbe here is going to refer to the story of Mordechai, who in his time, Haman crushed the Jews. Haman was the one who was there and wanted to kill every single Jew and made the Jews feel crushed. What did Mordechai, who was the Moshe of his generation, do? He gathered the people together to study Torah. He gathered the children specifically to daven and to study. And he increased the spiritual connection that every Jew previously felt on a lower level. Mordechai, in the time of Purim, increased that spiritual feeling. So that where previously the people were broken and crushed, he essentially turned the breaking and the crushing, the tsaris and the feeling of being overwhelmed, he turned that into something actually positive. Because when we look at olive oil, you can't get olive oil out of the olive unless you crush the olive. So he turned the negative event of Haman, he turned that actually into a focal point for reconnecting to Hashem. And the Rebbe explains, as he continues, that in fact, this capacity is inside each and every one of us. Because if not, you would be able to crush the olive all day and all night. And if it wasn't inside you, nothing would come out. The only reason olive oil comes out when the olive is crushed is because you have the olive oil all the time. So the tzaddik's generation, the tzaddik's job, therefore, is to take the generation and to, like an amazing coach, bring out the energies that are in the generation and to use the whatever is happening in the world at the time to create a greater sense of awareness, a greater sense of appreciation for spirituality, a greater sense of connection to Hashem than the Jews ever had previously. And the greater the tzaddik, the greater the coach, the greater the connection that happens. And we call this faith. We call this emunah. So the concepts of the Jewish belief in Hashem, the fact that every Jew believes with a simple faith and doesn't require any proof, because inside of us we have this faith already. It is the essence of our soul. We talk about the mazel. Mazel is another way of saying the energy that flows from the highest of levels to down to the lowest of levels. In Hebrew, the word mazel means something that flows, something that comes down, meaning Hashem's energy that comes down to us. So Rebbe says it's possible to explain the difference between two causes of faith as follows. There is a faith that the soul, that experienced by the soul, which comes from a perception that the soul has that Hashem of Hashem's energy. In contrast, if we want the potential for faith should be internalized, if we want that the faith should actually inform our actions, then that faith has to actually come down. So there is a faith that a Jew says, I believe, but that belief doesn't make me act any differently. But now a Jew wants to say, I believe and I should actually act differently because of my belief. For that, you have to have crush. For that, you have to open up the channels. For that, you have to have a connection to Moshe, connection to the tzaddik of the generation. If you want that your faith, which is connected to the highest levels of your neshama, should actually inform your actions, for that, you need connection to the tzaddik. And to explain the above a little deeper, the Rebbe says, the willingness of every single Jew to sacrifice his life for his faith stems primarily from the faith which is rooted in the essence of the soul. Because we don't feel that. So if you go over to a Jew who seems not to be keeping any mitzvahs whatsoever, and the operative word is seems not to be keeping the mitzvahs, because obviously every Jew is doing many, many mitzvahs, many good things. But this seems like a person who is completely removed from actively acting like a Jew. And you say something bad about their Judaism, you want to force that person to say, I'm no longer Jewish. Unless there's something really, really ill going on, generally speaking, and not only generally, but almost without exception, the person will say, absolutely not. I may not be the best Jew. I may not be the most Jew fulfilling the most, but I will never go against my essence, my faith. You are an anti-Semite. I'm going to fight against you. And that's why anti-Semitism strikes so deep, because what it does is it wakes up the essence of every Jew. Where does that come from? Where does that connection come from? And the answer is it comes from the deep sense of faith, of connection to Hashem, that is rooted in the essence of the soul. The mazel perceives it. The person doesn't perceive it, meaning their neshama feels that connection. But in their ordinary life, you look at the person and they don't act that way. This faith is very forceful. Nevertheless, it comes from an external factor, the soul's perception. Why will a Jew give up his life for his faith? Because faith in Hashem is the very essence of his being. And therefore, it is impossible that he will, God forbid, deny Hashem himself. So therefore, we can understand now that Moshe's function as a shepherd of faith also applies to the shepherds of Israel in every generation. In every generation, the great tzaddikim strengthen the faith of the Jewish people and inspire them to self-sacrifice for the sake of observing Torah and mitzvahs. And this is what the Rebbe is explaining. Let's go down a little bit more. We're talking here about the time of the coming of Mashiach. And we're talking here about the fact that a Jew in exile, in Gullus, exile itself, the Gullus itself, makes a Jew feel broken and crushed. Just not being in a state where Hashem's presence is revealed in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, and we don't feel spirituality, that itself already gives us a certain sense of feeling overwhelmed, of being feeling broken. The true desire of every Jew is that there should be a revelation of Hashem's presence, of godliness. This desire affects the very essence of his being. Therefore, the fact that in the time of exile, the time of Golos, godliness is not revealed, jolts every fiber of his being. Person is in Gansen zu Tresel, the Rebbe says, he's crushed. This is particularly true if a person actually studies a little bit and about how great the Beis HaMikdash is and learns a little bit more. So therefore, every Jew, even if you're living a wonderful material life and you feel like you have no tzaras in your life, you're being crushed. It's like saying that even if you don't feel pressure, there is pressure, there's air pressure. There's 14.7 pounds on every single square inch of our bodies. The fact that it doesn't crush us is because there's equal pressure from the other side, from inside. But the fact is, we are living in a physical world. The physical world has air pressure. And the air pressure of the physical world is similar to the spiritual pressure of not floating in the sky, meaning gravity itself, the world itself, is causing us pressure. And therefore, that pressure itself serves to press out the light of the soul and serves to give us connection to Hashem. So as you can see, there's a lot more to talk about here, but we'll just read the very last part. The simple meaning of the verse, therefore you shall command the children of Israel, they shall bring to you, is that Moshe will command the Jewish people and thus will evoke their service of they shall bring to you, meaning Moshe will wake up the deep connection that every Jew has to Hashem. And even whether we feel the pressure or we don't feel the pressure, we are being pressed by Golos, by exile. Moshe connects the Jewish people to Ein Sof, to Hashem's unlimited energy, and thus generates the potential for them to carry out the service of and they shall bring to you. This concept is applied with regard to the Moshe of our generation, the previous Rebbe. This is the Rebbe talking, and we obviously say this about the Rebbe. His service involved arousing and revealing the faith that every Jew has that comes from the essence of the neshama, the soul, which every Jew has. in a manner that afterwards they'll be able to carry out their divine service on their own initiative until they shine as a constant light. Without any change or variation, we'll be able to do all the mitzvahs, we'll be able to do everything we have to do without ever deviating, without ever becoming less. Through these efforts, we will merit the true and ultimate redemption, the very near future, which then at that time, Hashem's energy will permeate, will be visible, will be felt, even on the lowest levels, even in this physical world. And at that time, we will actually bring oil and light the menorah in an actual physical sense in the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be built by Mashiach. May this take place in the near future. So this is the talk, the last essay that the Rebbe gave out to his chassidim. And you can see how this essay itself is almost like a last spiritual, last will and testament. Talks about the connection that we have to Hashem through our great tzaddikim. But ultimately, what it talks about is the power plant that each of us has inside of ourselves. And yes, we need coaches to bring every athlete. The better the athlete, the greater the coach you're trying to convince should coach you. So we're lucky that the Rebbe doesn't have to be convinced. The Rebbe actually was running to coach us, and we should only appreciate that. And on the Rebbe's yard site, which is this coming Wednesday night and Thursday, the 3rd of Tammuz, we should tap into that coaching energy, and we should tap into that blessing that Hashem is giving us, that the Rebbe is bringing out of us, and that we can actually be amazing, amazing connected. Now, is it going to happen? Hopefully, but it's not up to us to finish the job, as the Pirkei Avos, Ethics of the Fathers, tells us. All we got to do is start the job. So don't worry whether you're going to be 100% tzaddik or not. Start the job. Try to do your best. Bring out your personal energy. Bring that to the table. Speak to your friends. Speak to your kids. Speak to your spouses. Tell them that each of them is special because they have special neshama. And Hashem put them here in this world because they have a mission to accomplish that only they can accomplish with their special neshama. And in fact, if we all get together, immediately Mashiach does come.